June 1st, 2018, Brandon Molesky and Pat Micheletti. This is Beyond the Pod, talking all things hockey and specifically Minnesota hockey right here. And it's all brought to you by Eagle Valley Golf Course. Pat, great to see you as always.
You too, Brandon.
You're starting to wear the golf shirts a little bit.
Yeah, it's June 1st, getting a little warmer. Time to start playing a little bit more.
You know, I might have to go out and play at Eagle Valley Golf Course sometime.
I think we should.
Yeah, we'll have to get that done. But until that time, we'll talk a little off-season hockey.
Let's do that.
I saw an interesting hypothetical story written by somebody within The Athletic.
Okay.
Don't know the name. And pretty much the gist of the story was they went through all 31 National Hockey League teams and said, let's do a hypothetical. If Seattle's expansion draft was this year.
Oh, boy.
If Seattle's expansion draft was this year, who would teams leave out? Who would they protect? Who would they unprotect? Now, the rule that they did have was basically was all going to be the same rules as Vegas had, except for the whole no trade, no move clause. They did not include that basically because they said, well, if the expansion draft is going to be this year, GMs would prepare for it accordingly in terms of no move clauses. Obviously, they have a couple of years before that's going to happen. So
we're including.
So we can protect or not protect Parisi, Suter, Koivu, which does change.
Oh boy, would it change? Of course it would.
But I found it interesting because last year on this very podcast, how often did we discuss this? And you know, I think there was lots of options to who should be unprotected. I think every single person would have disagreed on which seven forwards you should protect, which three defensemen, or whether you go 4-4. And then now you look at this year's roster, and it's amazing how
let's go back.
It's amazing how much that's changed.
Let's go back to a year ago.
Okay.
Okay. And I know it's in one of those easy to say scenarios, right? Yeah. What would you have done?
Now that we go back in hindsight,
But I mean, even with the years Halla and Tuck had, okay. I mean. What would you have done?
I still wouldn't have protected them.
No, you know, me either.
I mean, the only difference would have been I would have protected Stahl and left Coyle. Looking back at it now and seeing what you think their future might be, but you know, I would have. Yeah, and maybe I would keep Dumba instead of Brodin.
Now you know, I was told from a pretty good source that Coyle was offered to Las Vegas instead of Halla. True or not, I don't know. I heard it from a pretty good source who is a pretty good friend with the general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, for whatever reason, I don't.
Would that have been Coyle then, but then we keep both Hall and Tuck?
No, Tuck's still in. Yeah, just Coyle and Coyle instead of
Hall. Both of them. Or instead of Halla.
Yes.
So that's, well, I guess, because you would have had to have given Hall a raise, and then now you would have given Coyle's money.
Coyle's money. Which
okay,
is,
so that makes sense.
Yeah, because they figured, and because Hall ended up signing for $3 million.
Which seems bizarre, because a year ago at this time, I don't think anyone would have agreed with that. You know, they bumped Hall from third-line center to fourth-line center.
Right.
You know, center's a little bit more important position, but Coyle had been shown that he could be versatile in the past and play a little
speed.
Center if need be.
Speed.
Yeah.
So, I don't, you know. Who knows it's true, if it's true or not, but like I said, props to George McPhee for
figuring out that Halla had a chance to emerge once you give him a little bit more of a role, which a lot of those players have, right?
Right.
I mean, Carlson's the same way. You know, all of a sudden you give a guy's top six roles and power play time.
David Perron bounced around from team to team to team. You know, I mean, so he rejuvenated.
But his talent's always been there.
His talent has always been there, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of does he want to play or not. And obviously, you know, he decided, well, I can't take a night off because no one else is taking a night off. And, you know, then he had a great year. So he was kind of forced to play at a level that all the time instead of whenever he wanted to.
Well, I guess then to your question then, if you can go back and do
if
that over again,
back, yep.
You don't make a deal. You just say, hey, take one of our players.
Yeah.
Right? Because then you end up losing two.
Because you end up getting in trouble.
And Tuck, I think, ended up being a better prospect. And both you and I, and we hadn't seen a whole lot of them. You saw him a little bit down in Iowa. The five games I seen at the NHL level, I thought, well, he's definitely got the skill set.
Yeah.
But
what's he going to do? Right.
Whether the light bulb is going to turn on the brain or not, I think that's very hard to predict to sometimes.
And if you go with your scenario, which I like, which I would consider doing next time, hold that chip and and say, take a guy. And then you know that, well, we may not be able to sign this guy. Trade him for somebody else to another team.
Yep.
For picks or a player, or instead of just losing them.
Well, and I think the GMs are going to learn that next time when Seattle comes around. Because, right, the expansion draft rules will probably be the exact same. I don't think you're going to see as many trades, and we're going to give you this guy to take, or we'll give you a
don't
draft.
Take this guy.
We'll give you a draft pick to take this guy. I think a lot of teams are just going to deal.
I think GMs.
Take a guy, and you take him off a roster, we take him.
Yeah, I think GMs outsmarted themselves.
Yeah.
Or got outsmarted them, whatever the, however the phrase is. Because I think they thought too much about, well, what about this and that and the other thing, instead of just saying, here's who I like. We're going to lose a good guy. Which good
but
guy?
But I mean, the Wild would have lost a good guy. I know we lost Hall and Tuck.
Yeah.
Let's say they don't make a deal.
Who do you think Vegas takes in?
You know, you're still going to lose either Brodin or Dumba.
Yep.
And you would have lost either Staal or Zucker. I mean, those were the two that you were deciding
right.
on for the last
right.
spot.
Because right.
they were required to take Pominville. They were required to take Parisi. Required to take Koivu. You know, Staal had an unbelievable year. Dumba had a very good year.
Yep.
I mean, Zucker so, I mean, had, you lose one of those guys. And if Staal has that 40-goal season in Vegas, and you lost him, now we're saying the exact same thing. That was the thing is, people are ripping the Wild for the way they handled the expansion draft, and I understand because you lost a top prospect in Tuck, but they were in a no-win situation. They were going to lose a good player.
Yeah, but every other team in the league was going to lose a good player,
yeah.
too. It's not like, we're not going to lose a good player, Anaheim, or name a team.
Sure.
Every team is going to lose a good player, or, you know, in some... Someone that had either potential or underperformed or whatever the case may be, but they're going to lose a pretty good player.
Now back to my original question.
Yes.
Let's say we have this.
Yeah. Back. Okay.
Let's say we have this hypothetical expansion draft
yes.
for this season. Now, Cunningham, Greenway, Eriksson Ek, because of their age, can't be taken.
Right.
I don't know if Seeler would qualify for that or not.
He'll be a third year pro.
But in terms of actual NHL experience, I'm not sure.
It'll be his fourth year, won't it?
But it's his first year in the NHL, so I don't know how that plays.
It's third.
Let's assume, though, you can't take Seuler or Soucy or Cunningham, Greenway, or Eriksson Ek.
Okay.
Are you going to go with 7 forwards and 3 D, or are you going to go 4 forwards and 4 D? And who would you protect? Because last year we went from, man, we have too many good guys that we can't protect,
right.
to this year I'm going... Man, I don't even know. I mean, the guys we're protecting are mediocre.
Hmm. Yeah, because you got Granlund, Niederreiter, Coyle that are options.
I'll list off
Foligno.
The forwards.
Okay, yep.
Granlund, Zucker, Nino, Staal, Koivu, Parisi, Coyle, Ennis, Foligno.
Yep.
Defensemen, you have Suter, Spurgeon, Dumba, Brodin, Prosser. I don't think you need to worry about Prosser being taken.
No.
And then you've got Dubnyk, Stalock. See, it's not easy.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
Now, I'll tell you what the writer for The Athletic did, and I think I might actually agree with the writer.
Okay.
Because last year, to me, it was a slam dunk. You protect 7 forwards, you protect 3D, because they had so many forwards. This time around, I would almost go the 4-4 route.
Okay.
Where you protect 4 forwards, because one of the forwards you're going to lose, to me, doesn't mean a whole lot. At least protecting the defenseman, I can keep Brodin... either on the roster or as a chip.
So your 4 would be?
Granlund.
Zucker.
Nino. And so now your options are Staal, Koivu, Parisi, Coyle, and Foligno. I would probably actually keep Staal. After a 40-goal season, at least from a trade standpoint, he'd be your best chip.
And he's got another year in his contract. Well, no. Yeah, right.
You know, if
probably
if,
I would
if
probably
they take Koivu
with
at $5.5 million, I'm not going to cry about it. Now I've got some cap space.
Yeah.
They ain't taking Parisi.
No.
Right, so I'm not going to protect.
Well, that's the thing then, right, because you've got to throw, even though, and here's the strategy, is that you've got to throw the no-move contracts, you got to leave them, you got to throw them, make them available.
Yeah.
Because who wants to pick up 7 years at seven and a half million, or even 2 years at 10.5 or whatever Koivu's at, right? Or... Suter at same thing.
Yeah.
Although if Suter was available, Seattle would take him in a heartbeat. And so would I. I think Suter's...
I don't know if I would leave him available.
No.
I know the contract's yeah, got potential to look bad at
yeah,
the end.
But you know, he can play till...
He's got plenty of good years.
He does.
And he's a very good player.
He will fulfill his contract. There's no question about it. And he'll play. I mean, he's just got that body that you know,
yeah,
makes him able to do it.
And he's coming off a pretty serious injury right now. But
I mean, yeah, I talked to him at the press conference, and you know, he seemed to be pretty optimistic about everything. And you know, the only comment he made was he thought he was getting, you know, because he's lifting weights, he didn't want to get too
top
bulky.
Heavy.
Yeah, but yeah, I would protect him. Now, let's go to your D.
Yeah, so to me...
So you'd go 4-4?
I'm going 4-4. So I'm keeping Suter, Spurgeon, Dumba, Brody in on defense. My four forwards I would keep would be Granlund, Zucker, Nino. I would keep Stahl as the fourth, which means...
Parisi.
Koivu, Parisi, Coyle are probably the options to be selected. Coyle's the one that's going to be taken, I would think. I guess...
Yeah, because of his age.
Potentially Koivu if they need to...
Yeah.
Throw some salary and you have an experienced center, but...
But, yeah, you're right. I mean, probably Coyle. Probably Coyle. For sure, because...
So it comes down to whether you want to keep Coyle or Brodin, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather keep Brodin.
Can't have enough defensemen. You cannot have enough defensemen. Although I think you're going to see... We'll get to what the Wild might potentially do for this upcoming season.
Yeah.
Because this is all hypothetical that Seattle's coming in the league this year. But yeah, it would. You can't get enough defensemen. You cannot have enough defensemen. We've seen that with teams, and some guys go down, and you are in trouble.
Well, and so my next point then, getting away from the expansion draft, because I do think the types of teams that are going to be created here in the future are the types of teams that you want to have a Brodin, a guy with speed and can skate and is mobile back on the blue line. Because my next question for you,
yeah,
the way Vegas is playing.
Yes.
Going with speed, their style of play. This has been a copycat league before, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Chicago started winning Stanley Cups without big-name goalies, then everyone thought, well, we don't need to spend money on big-name goalies. When the LA Kings won some Stanley Cups, teams were like, we got to have our big, rugged, physical teams.
Yep, slow it down.
And, you know, Vegas has not won the Cup, but the style of play, and you might be able to explain it better than me, they almost look like a controlled chaos out there. I feel like they've messed up the game in terms of it's not as robotic with them.
Right.
Is that now going to be the way of the future? It's robotic, chaotic. Yes.
You know, just because their coach allows them to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Yet get to that. Their line is out there more before you can cross it. Don't cross it here, you know, but go ahead, push it all the way to the edge,
mm-hmm.
I think. And it just, it's exhausting. It's exhausting to watch. So yeah.
Do you think teams are going to look at that and go,
if they
that's
can,
the wave of the
it's
future.
Hard. It's hard though,
yeah.
Right? Because you got to also get some pretty good players. Now, when you're putting together a team, you don't have that ability as a general manager. You can build towards that, but it's going to take you 2 to 3 to 4 years because you can't just draft. You're just not going to get all those players in 1 year like they did.
Yeah.
You know, you can add a little bit here and there and, you know, and you got bad contracts and you've got this, that, and the other thing, but it'll be harder to put together. But yeah, I can see it going that way because the game is speed, right?
It's so fun to watch.
It's unbelievable. Now, that being said, do you think we'll see teams go for bigger defensemen because they're so speedy up front and or not? Because it's kind of, you know, it gets really tricky because you need some bigger guys, I think, to be able to handle, you know, the pounding that they're getting. You know, but then again,
their top defenseman's Nate Schmidt, which brings me to another.
Not a big guy.
Which brings me to another point in terms of copycat.
But they've
league.
Got Eglund and.
This has been a league, and we have it here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
They have it in Chicago, where your stud defenseman is going to play 25 to 30 minutes, and your bottom third pairing is going to play 10, 12 minutes, and we're going to have this big discrepancy. One I thought interesting nugget regarding the Vegas defenseman, and I'll be honest, I doubted them before the season. I doubted them throughout the season. I thought they would be exposed in the playoffs. They have not been. They've been great. But what they do that's different than everyone else is all six of their defensemen are pretty close in minutes. And I even saw a comment from Drew Doughty and Corey Perry that says what makes Vegas good is not only are they fast and they're super aggressive, but they keep coming in waves and waves and waves, and they do it immediately out of the gate, and the other team is just kind of exhausted as the game goes along because they keep throwing. They can go four lines deep and defensively, right? They don't have one guy playing 30 minutes, so therefore that guy's not getting tired out, and all three of their defensive pairings can go hard the entire time.
Well, which is evident.
Is that something that could change?
Yeah, it's evident in game one because the fourth line was so critical to Vegas, right? And even throughout the whole playoffs. So, but then again, it all started with the expansion. Here's a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
Who's the star? I don't know. So they all kept playing. They all wanted to play. And so they play fast and they play hard. And they kept it going all season long. And we were waiting for them to just say, okay, you can't play playoff hockey in January, in February, in March. And they just kept it going. But to your point, they're playing four lines, they're playing 6D, and they're going out there. And they just...
I'm wondering if they can sustain that style next year, where you're going that hard.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how many guys they keep.
Yeah.
Because they get free agency. How many guys they sign? Will they sign a Eric Karlsson or Tavares? Now, does that
Ilya Kovalchuk?
Kovalchuk, right. And so are those guys going to, then you're talking stars and you're talking a different,
What's interesting is we're sad about the loss of Hall and Tuck here.
Yeah.
They're going to have cap space where they could end up signing some big names, and all of a sudden you're gonna push down Halla and Tuck in terms of their minutes, and those guys are playing power play time,
so
and now they're not playing on the power play.
They're going to get back to the normal, right?
Potentially
the NHL normal,
depending on who they get. Yeah,
yeah. Which and where other teams are going to try to get like them.
Yeah.
So maybe they won't spend that money, or maybe they don't have enough cap money, and they bring in a young guy who's just waiting for that chance, a Sam Annis type who had a great year down in Iowa, a player like him. Hey, let's give him a chance, see what he can do. I don't know. That's interesting to see. We got a lot of great things to look forward to this summer, that's for sure.
Including a round of golf at Eagle Valley Golf Course. They provide excellent conditions and a friendly staff every day. Tee times and more information can be found at EagleValleyGC.com. Also, make sure you follow them on all social media platforms at EagleValleyGC. That's Eagle Valley Golf Course in Woodbury. A couple wild notes before maybe talk a little bit of college hockey.
Yes.
Also saw a story that pretty much had the top 25 buyout candidates for this summer.
I did see that, yes.
And number two on that list, not a surprise at all, would be Minnesota Wild forward Tyler Ennis. Of course, he has one more season at $4.6 million. A buyout would cost you $2.16 against the cap this season, and then $1.22 the following season. So if you combine the 2 years, you're saving about $1.2 million in cap. Obviously, you'd have to add an extra year, whereas if you just let him go this 1 year, he's off next year, and you have $4.6 to save. But clearly, we have a new general manager, have no idea what his line of thinking is, what he feels about this player, but just based on the performance, the numbers he's put up, and the salary he has, he's got to be gone this summer, right?
I really think that Bruce wanted him to succeed, and I think he gave him opportunities to succeed, and he didn't. And so then it got to a point where I don't even want to play at all, because you had your chance. You're in the top two lines. You're on the power. You're supposed to be a point producer, and you just didn't produce. Now, I can understand why Chuck, he's an intriguing player. He's got good speed. He's got good skill. But for some reason, I don't know if the injuries,
concussions,
were still, making him not be the player that he was. Not that he was injured, that just mentally thinking, I can't do this now. I was used to doing this, and I'm not going to go to this area or do those type of things. His best bet might be to go to Europe now. He can make a lot of money over there and play in a good league in a different style in a bigger rink, and maybe he's best suited for that. At this, hey, listen, for his size and what he's done and where he was, he's more than outperformed his NHL lifetime in the NHL.
Yep.
So, I think they'll probably end up buying him out, and they'll need that money. I think they can do better things with it.
Well, one thing maybe we learned out of this situation, and I know you've talked about it quite often, where you pick up players off of losing teams that have a different culture.
Right.
Right. I mean, George McPhee in Vegas did the opposite with the Wild. He said, I'm going to take two guys that aren't playing as much, don't have the role that maybe they could have, might gain a little confidence by moving them, switching them to a different place. Whereas Ennis was almost the opposite of that. When he was putting up numbers in Buffalo, guess what? He's playing top six role. He's playing power play time.
Oh.
He's playing with more skilled players. And then he comes here and he's not slotted in your top six. And all of a sudden you're playing him with Foligno and Winnick and Cullen, and that's just not going to work for him.
No.
And it's the old going from the Eastern Conference to the Western
Conference.
Different style of play, different expectations in Buffalo because it's a losing city. Maybe you can give up a little bit more defensively to make sure you're getting points offensively. I think we need to learn in the future of
dealing with
those
kind
of
teams.
See what
you're getting, because, well, you can always look at stats and say, oh, you had 320 goal seasons. Oh, boy, that's nice. But how was he getting them? When was he getting them? Just to your point, how many minutes a game was he getting? Who was he scoring against? All those things are a factor.
Sure.
But you know what? At that point in time, I think Chuck was like, I got to make the best deal I can to get some money so we can sign Granlund and Niederreiter. And that's really why the deal was made, to save some money.
One other Wild note.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because I was out for a while. I was out for about a week and not really paying attention to the internet and the newspapers. But the assumption after the season was over is that Matt Cullen's done.
Yes.
That was his final season. We've heard nothing about him at all, have we?
We have not. No. And let's not forget, Matt Cullen was a member of the Nashville Predators before he went to Pittsburgh.
Ooh. Is that your prediction?
So Paul, all I'm saying is Paul Fenton is very familiar with him and his style and what he brings and the type of character he is. Maybe it'll give him a reason to bring him back.
Does Cullen want to be back?
Well, he might want to just because it's all going to be fresh and new, potentially.
Yeah.
Attitude wise, just, something new that's going to give him hope.
Maybe he sees what happens to the roster, what moves are made, or whether trades.
This is not going to happen until training camp.
August, yeah.
He's going to probably train all summer like he always does.
Sure.
And see what's out there. I don't know. I couldn't even predict what he's going to do. Do you want him back? Do you? Do you want? And I'm throwing age out of it. Okay. Is he going to help your team?
Yeah.
How can he help your team? And is there going to be a defined role for him? And that's part of the problem. What happened last year is that for the longest time, and it happened with, you can even talk about Ennis. You just did. Well, you're playing with Winnick, Foligno, and Eck, and then you're this, and then you're that. The definition of their roles weren't really solidified until later in the year. And, I mean, we talked about it. Man, that fourth line at the end of the year, well, that was a good line.
In the playoffs, it was the best line. Yeah.
You're right. But it took that long to find a fourth line.
Sure.
And that was all year. And so that was part of the problem, too, of just not – everything just kind of seemed to miss a little bit. And, then it just went into the playoffs, and we saw what happened.
Let's go down a level from the National Hockey League to college hockey. A couple of different notes. Mike Hastings, head coach of the Minnesota State University Mavericks, named the World Juniors head coach. That's because of David Quinn. He can't do it anymore. He got hired by the New York Rangers.
Right.
So Hastings will now be the head coach of the World Juniors team. Scott Sandlin from UMD now named an assistant. And hopefully we'll have Hastings on at some point on a future Beyond the Pod episode. But
good for him.
Yeah, awesome for him.
Yeah, and good for him and good for Minnesota State, Mankato. It kind of puts them on the map because people, I got texts this week from people out east. Do you know him? Where does he coach? And
really?
Yeah. From a couple people, actually some of the parents whose kids are going to be vying
really
for a spot on that team. And what do you know about him? All this kind of stuff. So good for him. And then he hires his good friend, Scott Sandlin, national championship last year.
Sandlin hasn't been considered.
Was the assistant coach back, I don't know the year, 2010. Okay. I believe he was an assistant coach. I don't know why he hasn't been approached about being ahead. Maybe he doesn't want to be.
I'm guessing now that he's going to be an assistant this year, and now that he just won a second national title, that in future years his name's coming up.
Although I think he'll be in the National Hockey League. By the way, I did hear he interviewed with Dallas.
Really?
And he did talk to the Rangers.
Really?
But he did fly to Dallas and
and they chose Montgomery?
Well, yeah, and I don't know if it was a preliminary, you know, I don't know if it was a full-fledged interview or, you know, just a get to know you and whatever.
And you can't blame him.
Can't blame him. Can't blame him. No. And hey, and anybody in Duluth should not be surprised when you win another, you know, a national championship with a group that you had.
Yeah.
Of course. And look at, and again, we have Montgomery going and Quinn going. College coaches are now going to the Hackstall, Blashill in Detroit. You have
Motzko might be in consideration for that at some point.
Well, you know what? Bob was talked to after the juniors championships, and it was put on hold, obviously. And then, well, you know, the rest is history. He took the Minnesota job, but yeah, I mean, there's certainly a possibility that he's going to be considered for a job. There's a lot of we've got great coaches in college hockey all across the country, and so wouldn't shock me to see more of those going into the National Hockey League. No question.
And with Montgomery out at Denver, David Carl, the new
head
coach.
Yeah, good for him. You know, 28 years old.
How about
old.
That?
Had to retire early in his college career because of a heart condition. But they honored his scholarship. Good on Denver University for doing that.
Yep.
You can't play. We offered you a scholarship. We're going to honor it. Take one away from us, but we're going to honor your scholarship. And then he left for a year to coach in Green Bay in the USHL. And then when Jim Montgomery took the job, he hired him back. And Jim Montgomery and Tavis McMillan, both, you know, Tavis McMillan, who was a head coach of Anchorage, University of Anchorage, Alaska, Anchorage, didn't want the job, wants to stay as an assistant, and had nothing but great things to say about David Carl. I've dealt with him a little bit. A really good guy. His brother Matt was a former Pioneer and played a lot of years in the National Hockey League. So good for him.
A couple Gopher hockey notes. The schedule came out this week.
Yep.
I guess the most notable things on the schedule would be they open the season with a home and home versus Minnesota Duluth. This is the year, finally, we heard about this years ago, but they're going to be playing North Dakota in Las Vegas.
Sold out, from what I understand.
Let me guess, that's going to be one of those where you're going to decide to make the road trip.
I might.
All of a sudden, you're going to be working for that.
Yeah. I don't know what. It should certainly be fun, but that game is sold out.
If you need someone to intern that game, I'm available for the trip.
Absolutely. Now, why wouldn't they move it to T-Mobile Arena with all of the hype?
Is it not there? Where
is
it at?
No, it's at some other building, not at the Thomas and Mack Center, where the.
What's the capacity?
7,800.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and it sold out. Obviously, I mean, you got the whole city, Grand Forks, going. I mean, literally,
they travel quite well.
Yeah, they will, and to Vegas.
Well, and the Wild fans traveled well to Vegas this year for the one stop.
And so, that's unfortunate that it can't be at T-Mobile, because I think they'd sell it out. I really do. And but that'll be in November. So yeah, good. Good way to start the season up in Duluth. It's a home and home, as you mentioned, and a good way to get it going.
And then the other notable thing is they face Arizona State.
Yeah,
in early March.
I saw that.
Kind of the last series of the regular season before the playoffs start.
Well,
which does that mean they're now going to travel to Arizona State the following year?
I would think so. It all depends where they're playing. But here's the deal. I think they were added. Bob,
that'll be another trip you're going to make.
Exactly. St. Cloud State visited Arizona State last year and played in their little tournament that they had.
Yeah.
And so I think it was one of those deals where, and so with Bob moving to Minnesota, he said, hey, come play us.
I think that's great.
Good for the program.
Great for Arizona State, right?
And they need to grow the game, and that's getting, you know.
To play at a big name program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So good on that.
One other note with Gopher College Hockey. They've had a couple recruits switch over to the University of Minnesota now that Bob Motzko is the head coach and goes from St. Cloud State. A Holy Family forward, Garrett Pioniemi, who's going to be a junior next year. He changed his commitment from St. Cloud State to the Gophers. Bryce Brodzinski, they just keep throwing out Brodzinski's from Blaine. he's going to be a senior next year. He announced via Twitter that he's going to play for Minnesota. And then also we also had Ben Myers from former Delano standout, who played for the Fargo Force this season in the USHL. Originally verbally committed to Omaha, he's now a Minnesota Gopher. So,
yeah, well, you know, Bob recruits differently than the previous regime, and you know, he wants speed, he wants skill. They play fast, they play hard, and they are relentless. They play a lot like St. Cloud teams played, a lot like how Vegas played. Their D get up in the play, they go after you, and they just wear you down, and they play four lines, and you better be able to play the game, or else you're not going to be in the lineup. That's just how Bob sets up his teams. And so, that's one of the great things about St. Cloud State last year, is that he would pull a guy out of the lineup and then the next night put him on the first line, and that first liner would go down to the fourth line and one guy would go out. And, but they, you know, that's the depth that they have. And when you have depth, you can do some pretty good things and pretty dynamic things, and they did last year, except for losing to Air Force. But that's what you're going to see here at Minnesota.
Now, the Brodzinski name.
Yes.
So I coached against in the same conference as Blaine for years.
Right.
So I can't tell you I've ever seen Bryce Brodzinski play. I couldn't tell you what kind of a player he is. Mm-hmm. But if it just happens that Gene happens to be passed down in the family, which it seems like it has been.
A score.
The two I coached against, now Johnny was the forward, correct?
Yes.
And he was 2 years older than
Mike,
the defenseman. Who's the defenseman at Minnesota?
Michael.
Michael?
Yep.
So I coached against them when Johnny was a senior and Michael was a sophomore.
Yes.
And we played them in the section quarterfinals. And the first time we played them, they beat us 4-0, and Johnny had all four goals.
Okay.
So we thought,
let's stop him.
Here's what we're going to do. We're gonna
shut him down. Yep.
Because you know they had a good team, but he was by far their best scorer, and he was kind of by himself. They didn't have anything close to him at the forward position. So we said, we're just gonna shadow him. We're just gonna take a guy, follow him all around the ice. Guess what? We shut him out that game. What did Dave Oss for Blaine do? Halfway through the game, he goes, all right, let's move Michael up from defense to forward.
Oh,
he
no.
goes out there and scores 2-3 goals, and then they beat us.
They had that ability in their father, Mike.
They can shoot.
Yeah, they can shoot the puck. Easton, who's at St. Cloud right now, going to be a prolific scorer for a freshman last year to do some of the things he did. You just don't see, and he's a good one. And I have not seen Bryce play either, but apparently. He has the ability to be even better. So, should be good.
Hopefully, we'll be better next week.
We will be.
When I join you for Beyond the Pod.
Sounds great. Have a great week.
Thanks, Pat. He's Pat Micheletti, former Golden Gopher, of course. My co-host on Beyond the Pond and Wild Fan Line. I'm Brandon Molesky. This has been Beyond the Pod. As always, it's brought to you by Eagle Valley Golf Course. Thank you for listening so much. And I will talk to you next week right here on Beyond the Pod.